Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press. This is The Sports Reporters Podcast. We enjoy doing this Mondays and Thursdays, especially Mondays in football season, because, boy, is there a lot to wrap up. And we will get to the NFL and all the games. And, yes, the Lions even won a game. So it's an unusual weekend. But first, to college football. And as I have been saying for weeks, these things just kind of work themselves out by the end of the conference championships. And sure enough, they did. The only debate, perhaps, is over who's number one versus who's number two. But it's Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati. Yeah, Cincinnati, not denied, and they're in. And I personally think they got this right. I watched all the games. I know you can make an argument for Michigan to be number one. I live in Michigan. There are some people here who feel that. But watching Alabama destroy Georgia, previously undefeated Georgia, and I mean destroy them with their passing game, they just look like, if they went head-to-head with Michigan, they would probably win the game. And so I have no problem with the number one. And again, I don't think the committee wanted to see another Alabama-Georgia game before the finals of this thing. What do you guys think?
I think everybody would like to see Michigan-Alabama, Mitch. I do. It's amazing how Michigan has changed its profile in the span of a few weeks. How the coach has changed his profile, how Michigan football has changed its profile, and how, you know, people, I think they had a legitimate conversation to be had, but I don't think anybody who watched the games, and even the way that Michigan gave a beatdown to Iowa, would dispute that not only is Alabama the best team in the country, they have the best coach of all time, and they have the best player in the gym. And that's a pretty good combination at this time of year. Mitch and Bob, they found themselves on their own 3-yard line in the Iron Bowl against Auburn, and look at what they have done since.
Yeah, that's a remarkable juxtaposition. And I think you're right that that was as impressive a win in the circumstances you could ever ask for. I mean, the numbers that are involved with this, for example, 5 drives of 75-plus yards, but the total offense of 536 yards against a team playing in the toughest conference in America that had given up an average of 231. They doubled the yardage that Georgia had given up.
But Bob, don't you want to take another look now? As great as Georgia's defense was, don't you want to take a kind of another look at their season after what we saw from them on Saturday? I'm not saying that they don't belong in the tournament or anything like that, but you always talk about the eye test. And if you apply the eye test to what we saw from Georgia, they did not look like they were at that point, the undisputed number one team in college football.
No, there wasn't. I don't think there was ever at this season. There shouldn't never have been an undisputed number one. I think that's the kind of year we're having. I'll say this, Mike, as far as the eye test is concerned, there were times earlier in the year when Alabama was vulnerable.
Yeah, but I mean, Bobby, that was then. I'm talking about the teams that are playing now, jockeying for position.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But now is what matters.
Right. Now is what matters. But then is what gets you there.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And Georgia was number one because of the then. Remember that they opened by beating Clemson, who at the time some people thought was good. And then, you know, you look at the roster of the wins that they had. Well, when they played Auburn, they beat Auburn 34-10. But that's part of why Auburn was having a very average year. They beat a ranked Arkansas team, but, you know, Arkansas isn't taken seriously at this point in the season. So you look over, you know, their schedule is dotted with the Charleston Southern and UAB and Vanderbilt and some of the other, Kentucky and some of the other ones. They weren't beating Alabama every week. And everybody knew that facing Alabama at the end of the season was going to be the measure of who they were. And Mike, I'm with you in that while Alabama many times, it wasn't just the Auburn game, many times during the course of the season, Alabama
did
not.
They lost to Texas
A&M. Yeah, they lost to Texas A&M, but they were on the ropes with some other teams
LSU,
too.
LSU, yeah. Mitch.
Yeah. And yet, what matters is how you're playing towards the end and when the chips are down and when you have to perform. And that 97-yard drive, whatever it was, started this run of excellence. And they just look like an NFL team compared to Georgia.
This kid is special, Mitch. I mean, he's more special than I thought. But I'm telling you, I think we agree. He might be, Bob and Mitch, he might be the greatest Alabama quarterback since Mac Jones.
Since Mac Jones, yeah. Yeah. Very possibly. I have a serious question.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think he put that thing under his arm.
It's a runaway.
He put that thing under his arm on Saturday.
No question. I have a serious question, gentlemen. If a young man named Jaron McVay, a safety who plays for Baylor, does not tackle Desmond Jackson 6 inches from the pylon, is Oklahoma State number 4 and Cincinnati number 5?
No.
I'm asking. Okay.
Absolutely not, Bob. That game was, and I have all the admiration in the world, especially for the Baylor coach. Not so much for Gundy, who had, 9 plays from the 1 and couldn't score a touchdown. Okay? Absolutely not. It would have diminished everything they say this competition is supposed to be. And Baylor-Oklahoma State was like a bad movie you couldn't turn off. That's what I saw on Saturday.
Would you have been shocked?
Yes. Yes.
If that had happened.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have been. But I'm glad.
Really?
I'm gratified. I didn't trust the committee at all. I'm gratified.
No, I keep pointing out that the committee 3 weeks ago still thought Oregon was the number 3 team in the country. Right, so what do they know?
That said, how riveting was that moment? I mean
that was a great end to that game.
The stakes everything at stake, and then the way that play unfolded, and you're going, and when we're watching that kid head for the pylon, I mean, and knowing that the game's over one way or the other, we have a winner one way or the other,
I'll tell you who was rooting the hardest for that kid to make that tackle was the CFP, because they didn't want to have to deal with the question that you just
and
threw
at that
out there.
Point, so was Notre Dame, Mitch. Yeah. I mean, Notre so Dame was is, Notre Dame, not 100%. What Michigan was going to do to Iowa.
Yeah, when I saw that early loss there, I thought, and then Houston was giving Cincinnati a game early on, and I thought this could be the chaos that we could end up with Oklahoma State and Notre Dame in this thing, with Alabama and Michigan on the outside, which would have happened if they lost, but they did not lose.
Can I ask you guys this, Bob? Why would you think they would have had to jump 2 teams? Oklahoma State. They would have had to jump Notre Dame and Cincinnati.
No,
right?
they were ahead of Notre Dame. They were fifth going
they were
in.
Fifth. That's why I say that.
They would have only had to slot
Notre
up
Dame
one. And I wouldn't have been as shocked as you are, Mike. I mean, I think it would have been the wrong thing, because it just sends a message that an undefeated season is meaningless, and it's all about what conference you're in, and that might have sent even more teams jockeying for different conferences. But they did beat a top 10 team. In number 5 beat a top 10 team in winning its conference championship if they had won it, whereas Cincinnati beat, I don't know, what was Houston ranked? Were they in the 20s or something?
Maybe.
So you could have made that argument. It's the same sort of argument that ultimately ends up with the why Alabama is number 1. And let me say this as a Michigan person. I think when 3 beats 1, And beats one. I mean, they didn't edge them out on the final play. They thoroughly beat them. And 2 beats 13, even as well as Michigan beat them. And then you at least have to go to an eye test, if nothing else. And the eye test would say that Alabama in that game just deserved to be considered the best. And by the way, that's not a small thing. There are years where it might not make a difference. But Alabama getting to play Cincinnati versus Alabama playing Georgia again is a big, big difference. Michigan getting to play Cincinnati instead of having to play Georgia, big, big difference. So this was one of those years where who goes to number 1, who goes to number 2 is a big, big thing, whereas in some years all 4 teams are really high.
By the way, I want to remind everybody that we are sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And I say something I heard yesterday that made me laugh. When Kirk Herbstreit said, well, Michigan seems to be peaking at the right time. He's kind of making a backdoor play for Michigan to be number one before we found out. And he said, Michigan seems to be peaking at the right time. And I'm thinking to myself, Alabama's not?
Yeah.
Mike, you alluded to it, and we have to just acknowledge it one more time, that the other factor that came in this year would have been the early rematch. You know, do you want the early rematch of Alabama and Georgia, you know, in anything other than the championship game?
I think, right. Bob, I'm sure that think should not in the back of their mind.
It, yeah, it you don't but think, you know, you, oh boy, if did. I'm on that committee, I got to.
But I don't think that's
I don't want
why,
that rematch.
Dutch seeding, those seedings are exactly right in my mind.
No, they are right, but I totally agree with them. And but I'm just thinking that if you're, you know, you want to do go out and make sure you don't have, you know, Alabama playing
now,
Georgia.
Let's talk for a moment about the Michigan game. I have to say that there were plenty of people here who thought, how on earth are they going to get back up for any game after that Ohio State game? The Ohio State game was basically 8 years in the making, and they so thoroughly threw themselves into it. It was like, you know, watching an opera singer just hit every high note, and then you wonder, you know, he's got to have laryngitis the next day, right? And everybody expected maybe a flat performance against Iowa. So, Mike, you talked about how Harbaugh has sort of reinvented himself, and he really has over the course of the last few weeks. But 42-3, not even allowing a touchdown, although Iowa's can be offensively challenged. But 42 points on that defense. Yeah, but 42.
They're still running the ball. Still running the ball and throwing short passes. I'm thinking, come on, dude.
Yeah. Well, they had to change their quarterback in the middle of the game. That's never a good sign.
Hey, by the way, Mitch, can I talk about the name we have not mentioned yet? Okay, and Harbaugh deserves all the credit, and the kids are great. Josh Gattis, Mitch, I don't know when the light went on, not with Jim, okay? But the way that play calling early in the game, which just was like a big early rounds punch that they threw at Iowa, this guy is about to become a hot name in college coaching, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it's part
soon
of.
He'll be getting those 10-year, $10 million, $100 million contract.
Yeah, Tucker money.
The standard. The standard.
But also Mike McDonald, who they brought in from the NFL as the defensive coordinator. You know, 3 points is the more impressive number in that game. And what they did to Ohio State, given how good Ohio State was defensively, was also a big part of it. But they showed me something in winning that game as decisively as they did, that they were able to put the Ohio State thing out of their mind and focus on doing everything else. And take a look now at the chorus of echoes of criticism for Jim Harbaugh, what it was for years. Can't beat his arch rival, can't beat Ohio State, can't win a Big Ten title, can't knock off top-ranked teams. In 2 weeks, he did all of that. And, you know, beat Ohio State, got himself a Big Ten title, beat another top-ranked team, going to the CFP. It speaks to the fact that sometimes staying with coaches is the right thing to do. And in college football, too often, as you see with Ed Orgeron and others, it's too often it's like, okay, thanks very much for the championship you delivered a couple years ago, but, you know, you haven't done anything for me lately, and lately as
but
in
Mitch,
24
Mitch,
hours
it's not
ago.
Like the criticism of Harbaugh is suddenly unjustified overall.
Oh, not, absolutely not. It's, absolutely not. I'm saying
both things can
evolve.
Be legit. What
That's
you just
right.
said is legit, and the criticism was completely legit.
Totally, totally. But I'm saying that people can evolve and systems can change. And what Harbaugh did, by the way, not just by taking, you know, half the money, that he was getting paid, but by recasting his entire staff, he got rid of basically every coordinator except one or two and brought in a bunch of young guys with different ideas, went back to a running game approach and turned it around. So it's, I'm not saying that see what Harbor, I'm saying for all coaches, sometimes we give up on them too quickly. Well, and there's one other thing I want to say about Harbaugh before we move on. I don't know if you know about this, but we know about it here. He pledged all of his bonus money this year to give back to the University of Michigan's people who got cut as a result of the pandemic within the whole University of Michigan system there. Because a lot of people had their hours cut, some of them half pay, some of them lost their jobs. That sounds like, oh, that's very nice. He's giving, you know, $50,000. His bonuses ultimately are worth a couple million dollars, I think, if he gets as far as he's gotten now. And if he wins a CFP game or plays for a national championship, it's not small stuff. He literally pledged away, I think, over $2 million. That doesn't happen very often. No, and, should be mentioned.
Mitch, I am never surprised when a Harbaugh team plays defense, okay? But I am surprised. I just looked it up. In their last three victories, they've scored 143 points.
Yeah.
They crush Maryland, and then they throw up 42s against Ohio State and Iowa. And that is a Michigan offense, the likes of which I have never seen under this man.
Mitch, I have one more question. Maybe as a local guy, you can tell me, did anyone know whether or not they set a Guinness Book of World Records record for the largest band ever to play the national anthem before the game?
I don't know.
There were 600 people on that field, if I'm told,
yeah.
Right? 300
yeah.
each?
Yeah.
Wow. That was cool. Okay.
Yeah, it was cool. It's good for Michigan. We'll see how they can stack up against the SEC. These Big Ten SEC matchups don't often go well for the Big Ten. They always tend to look a little slower, and you always walk and end up coming out of those games saying, "Well, Big Ten needs to get faster and get smaller and faster." They're
hey,
bigger and lumber.
Is Kirby Smart going to change quarterbacks? That's going to be a big story in the run up to that game. I mean. Yeah. Is JT Daniels is unbeaten as a Georgia quarterback, and that kid on Saturday looked extremely limited to me.
I thought so as well. I thought that the Stetson Bennett looked out of the game. I mean, looked out of his league in that game. And I guess it's not fair to be contrasted with Bryce Young. You know, and every time you go off the field, Bryce Young comes on the field. This is the other thing about college football. You get into these rhythms, you pick the teams based on, as you pointed out, Mike, who's playing well now, and then you stop for nearly a month. And by the time you come back and play, there are some teams that look the same as they did, and some teams look completely different. Some guys get healthy, some guys get hurt, some of the teams that play off of momentum find it missing all of a sudden, and they have to rev it up again for a bowl game, or in this case, two bowl games. So who knows what they're going to... I'm sure Michigan would prefer to play Saturday, you know, with what they got going right now.
So would Alabama.
And so would Alabama.
Hey, one more thing, and a reminder that we are sponsored by a great product, and I they're in my ears all the time. It's Raycon. Are you worried about being able to find the right gifts for this holiday? The key is to shop early, and right now you can get something amazing that you'll save a lot on and you'll use every day. Raycon wireless earbuds. I just got my Raycons, and I have to tell you, I'm impressed. The audio quality is great, easily comparable to other premium brands, but they start at, wait for it, half the price. They're comfortable, which is a big plus because there's 8 hours of listening time, so I can enjoy music, podcasts, calls, whatever, all day long. There's a few models you can choose from. The new everyday earbuds come with 3 sound profiles to get the amount of bass you want. Raycon wireless earbuds are the kind of gift that people will enjoy every day. Get yourself a pair. You'll hear what I mean. Go to buyraycon.com/reporters today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you do not want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/reporters to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/reporters. Okay, guys, one last question before we move on, because it is so much fun that they now have a Selection Sunday in college football. The two teams that make the final will end up playing 15 games this season. Okay? The NFL plays 17 games. I know it's probably as inevitable as the tide that they're going to change this system, but guess what? I think this system is not broken. I think this system is great, and I don't think adding at least another game and perhaps two games is going to enhance this system at all.
I'm not in favor of it. I like the four, but you know it's inevitable.
Notre Dame would give you an argument, you know.
But it's all, every year's different. Some years you got a six.
Yeah, there's some years where you really say that's a shame. This year, really, it's not. Nobody's crying so loudly once Oklahoma State lost. I'm sure Notre Dame is ticked off, but they did lose to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's in and they're not. And, you know, that's a pretty fair thing. Yeah. They didn't really have great wins over the course of the season. And after that, the drop-off on this particular year is pretty severe.
Pretty severe. I mean, hey, Mitch, I'm going to look forward to the Rose Bowl. You know why? Because Utah is my new favorite team. Yeah. I love Utah. They scored 38 points twice, 38-7 and 38-10 over Oregon, which turned out to be a complete fraud of a team. And boy, why wouldn't Miami want their coach? But I love watching Utah play football.
Well, now we can go to sleep on college football for about 3 weeks before we have to talk about it again.
Yeah,
and that's the weirdness of it. And now we go to the NFL, where kind of interesting developments yesterday. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with Patrick Mahomes light, okay? Because, yes, the Chiefs have transformed themselves. They're playing Michigan defense now, okay? Yeah. And Steve Spagnuolo has them playing an extremely high level. But Patrick Mahomes last night threw for 184 yards. Against Denver. And I know Denver's got a good defense. I put it on Twitter this morning. Mike Glennon threw for 187 for the Giants against the Dolphins, okay? I don't know what's going on with this offense because they've still got all those guys. And I don't know what is happening with Patrick Mahomes, but there are times, guys, when he's throwing the ball and dropping down to the side, as Collinsworth kept making a big deal out of last night, where he looks like a golfer with the yips.
Well, I don't know. There were so many passes that were dropped in that game.
But there were so many open guys that he threw high, he threw behind, he threw low to. That wasn't a drop game to me, Mitch. He doesn't look the same.
Well, you often wonder with quarterbacks, and I'll throw him in with Matthew Stafford of the Rams. Even though the Rams easily beat the Jaguars yesterday, I watched that whole game. Because we have nothing else to do in Detroit but watch Matthew Stafford play with his other team now. And he also, it's another quarterback, overthrowing guys, throwing behind him. And I've mentioned this before, I've seen this before, and it might be happening with Mahomes. There are injuries, arm injuries, finger injuries, wrist injuries that don't get reported, that quarterbacks really don't want to make a big deal of because they don't want to get hit again and they don't want to get taken out and all that. That can affect your accuracy. And when you see a quarterback in December who you know is a great quarterback, who you know can put balls on a dime, suddenly overthrowing guys, you wonder if there's not something that you're just not reporting that isn't keeping them off the field, but is keeping them from putting that ball between the numbers every time on guys' chests.
Bob, and I'm going to give you a basketball reference, okay? And I remember when I was a kid covering the Knicks, and Clyde Frazier was clearly slowing down, and at the end of a season, he said, "I've got mild tendonitis behind both knees." And I mentioned that to one of his teammates, and he said, "At this point in the season, everybody's got mild tendonitis behind both knees." And what I'm saying, Mitch, is yes, could he be hurt? Yes, but everybody's dinged up at this time of year.
But everybody's not a quarterback.
But Rodgers is, I don't know how much that Joe is affecting Rodgers' throwing. I'm just saying that when guys are having bad games, sometimes they're just having bad games.
You know who just fit this description in 2019 to maybe a lesser degree, but it was there, and I firmly believe, and that's Tom Brady. He did not look very good in 2019, and his comeback last year with Tampa Bay was
but he's older than the ocean too.
It's remarkable. So I'm just saying, even I think that was maybe what was going on. Who knows? He didn't look the same in 2019. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, they won, and you know, at this point, with the Chargers just behind them, they need to keep doing that. That division remains a tough one. Even Denver's at 6-6, and you know, Vegas 6-6.
Oh God,
and six,
they're
LA
unwatchable, Mitch. They're unwatchable.
Well, you have to speed the thing ahead when they're on offense.
But how about the old man of the sea? Well, actually, the old man of the three rivers. How about the Steelers rising up and beating the Ravens and Harbaugh going for two at the end?
That was a bizarre game and finish.
Wasn't it?
It was really a bizarre game.
How many strange takeaways? And
yeah, Lamar Jackson. Yeah, picks and Lamar Jackson once again is like amazing, and then makes an amazingly bad mistake. You know, when it throws off his back foot and gets picked, and Roethlisberger, I don't know. You know, this was a Sunday that the rumors had gotten a lot louder that he basically said I'm done. You know, he himself said he's not coming back. And everybody was ready to bury Pittsburgh, and they were going to go to a losing record. You know, they were going to go to 5-6-1 and be officially out of it. And they win the game on the weirdest of plays. Now, I guess Harbaugh said that his injured cornerbacks or whatever.
He was down corners. Yeah
and he didn't want to go to overtime. That they want to go to overtime.
Yeah.
But the thing was, the game is right there. 89 just can't get that ball. The pass is a little too far away, and because he's going in for the two, and they're going to win the game. So on those moments, entire seasons shift. I mean, Pittsburgh's now 6-5-1, and they're not out of it.
No, and there's something going on with the Ravens, and I know they can't run the ball. Okay, when you see that Lamar Jackson's nearly throwing the ball 40 times in a game, you think, well, wait, that's not the way they want to play. Okay, that is totally not the. But they're guys. They have been weird for 2 months. Okay, when they win by a little. They lose at home. They lose to the and I understand. You know, the Steelers versus the Ravens is like the Iron Bowl of the NFL. Okay, it's that rivalry is always even. I think somebody said yesterday, out of the last 19 games, it's 10-9 for one of them. I forget which one of them it is. Okay, but does anybody look at the Ravens right now and see them playing in Los Angeles in February?
No, you don't. And yet, it's funny you say that, Mike, because I was going to go there in terms of playing them. Your inference there is completely correct. No, but you can't imagine that. On the other hand, do you, on any given Sunday, do you really want to mess around with them because of you know who? He can, by himself, keeps them either in or out of the game.
300 yards in total offense.
You know,
Bobby,
and,
I know
he's such an incredible force. So if I'm, you know, it's January and suddenly I find that they're on my schedule, I got to play them in a wild card game, whatever. You know, I'm not dancing a little, you know, happy dance there. I don't want to play. I don't want to play Lamar Jackson, period. You know what I mean? He scares me.
Yeah. But with the Chiefs being weird, with Tennessee having come all the way back to earth, and with New England, basically, you know, okay, you still got to prove it in the big games. Who else in the AFC are you necessarily saying, well, they're going to definitely beat Baltimore when they play them in the...
Mitch, I've got the conference... You're 100% right, Mitch. I've got the conference standings in front of me, okay? There are 13 teams that still sort of have playoff possibilities in the AFC. The only teams that do not are the Jets, the Texans, and the Jaguars, okay? The Patriots, and we'll see what happens to them in Buffalo tonight. There are three games in the loss column that separate number one, the Patriots, from number 13, the Miami Dolphins, who, by the way, lost seven in a row and have now won five in a row.
Have now won five straight. And you were pointing out last week, Mike, about Tua, and as I recall.
Plays a little better every Sunday, Bobby.
They've won, you know, absolutely. Yeah, no, there's no lock. I mean, there's no lock. There's no question.
You've got the Patriots have won six in a row. The Chiefs have won five in a row.
Yep.
The Dolphins have won five in a row. And with all that, all four division leaders are 8-4. All of them. They all had the exact same record.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is, and everybody has somebody on their heels right behind them. It's 7-4, 7-5. So that's what I'm saying. You say, well, Baltimore, can you really trust them in January and going to the Super Bowl? But who exactly are you saying is definitely going to knock them off? The NFC is a lot easier to sort of identify the elite than the AFC is. No, the AFC is a crapshoot right now.
Hey, guys, by the way, the Dolphins, who have won 5 in a row, that could easily become 8 in a row because their next 3 opponents are the Jets, the Saints, and a Titans team that who the hell knows what we're going to get. And then they finish with Bobby's Patriots on January 9th. All I'm saying is, Mitch, you're right. There are hot teams from the top of the conference to the bottom in terms of teams that are still scratching and clawing to get into the playoffs. And you, when you look at the conference standings like I just did, it just seems like they're all in a scrum.
Yeah. If you had bought a ticket in Cincinnati yesterday to that game, what you got was a triple header. There's two teams that are in this discussion. You got a triple header. You got 3 separate games. You got the Chargers looking like they're going to the Super Bowl. You got the Bengals roaring back to make it a 24-22 game. And then you have the Chargers re-winning the game with a 17-point fourth quarter. And if you watch that game, did you ever see so many oopses and strange takeaways and balls bouncing in the air available for DBs and guys?
Well, Mixon's fumble
more
was
weird
the whole
shit.
Bobby, Mixon's fumble was the whole game. Mixon's fumble was the whole game because it turns into a fumble pick 6. But I, guys, Mitch, you can hold me to this, okay? I will never put my hand anywhere near the flame of the Cincinnati Bengals ever again because just every single time where I think they're ready to make a move, they go out and they're behind as big as they were behind the Chargers yesterday.
They're like trusting a teenager to drive a car. It's just not.
And one thing we were reminded, is that the little digit on your hand, on your throwing hand, is extremely important when it comes to throwing that football. Yeah. And how about that look on his face then that Wednesday we saw on the sideline for Burrow?
He says he's going to be okay. Burrow says he's going to be okay. But I'll tell you who continues to be okay, and I don't know if the defense will ever catch up with them in Los Angeles. But boy, is it fun watching. I say this all the time. Boy, is it fun watching Justin Herbert play football.
No, he's really good.
He's got a big arm. Want to remind people that we are brought to you by our friends at Skylight Frames. Hey, friends, the holidays are just around the corner. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for your loved ones, well, I've got it. And it's especially great for anyone that's far away. It's called the Skylight Frame, and it is amazing. It's a touchscreen photo frame that you can update instantly from anywhere. We all got one, saw how easy it is to use, and each of us have someone that it's perfect for on our list. I have one sitting in my kitchen, and every now and then I'll look over and there'll be a picture that I didn't know where it came from, of a family or friends or us. And sure enough, one of my nieces or nephews or cousins or brother or sister sent it to me, and up it pops on the screen. This gorgeous 10-inch screen sets up in under 60 seconds. You can even preload it with your favorite photos for a personalized gift and then give it to your loved ones. It's easy to scroll through photos and even easier to send them through email. It's a great way to bring the whole family closer. And now as a special offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter the code REPORTERS. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter the code REPORTERS. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code REPORTERS.
All right, take us to the NFC where those Arizona Cardinals, they're hardly the little engine that could because they're really good, but there they are with the best record in the sport, a game better than the Rodgerses and the Bradys.
And here they are they're 7-0 on the road and all 7 by double digits. So I guess we should take them seriously, huh, guys?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard. Look, it's always hard to make judgments when teams are playing the Bears. Just don't know what to say, and their win the week before.
You said
was
bears against... like lions. It sounded the same. To my ear, it sounded like bears, lions.
The lions are in there too, but and previously, their win was against the Seahawks, another team that you just don't know what to make of. Before that, they had lost two of their previous three. I think they're back on track. The schedule will help us in that on Monday night, a week from today, they play the Rams, and that will basically, I think, determine what's what in the NFC West. Arizona wins that game, I think they can kind of coast to winning that division. And the way that the Rams look, I wouldn't be picking the Rams right now.
I think that's a good game. Mitch,
look at their schedule,
Rams, Lions, Colts, who are really good. I saw a great stat today. Jonathan Taylor has scored as many touchdowns this year as the Giants team has. Wow. How about that? Then they play the Cowboys on January 2nd, and then they get the Seahawks at home. But I watched, did you guys watch any of that 49ers-Seahawks game? Because you watched that game yesterday and thinking, oh, that's the way the Seahawks are supposed to look.
Yeah, they're going to be that way the rest of the year. They're just going to they're going to look like the Seahawks, and they're not going to look like the Seahawks.
Spoiler, but they got a chance to be big time. Mitch, they got a chance to be big time spoilers.
Yeah, I do think that Arizona is the team that we have to be. Look, we know how good the Packers are, and there's no question that the Packers are going to be there. And we know Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. You know, they put away Atlanta yesterday. I would have been shocked if they didn't. But, you know, Brady was 38 for 51, 368, four touchdown passes. He throws 51 times in a game at his age. It's insane.
Did you see the pick six? It was a 3-yarder.
Yeah.
By it was like a 3-yard pick six. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, can I just say one thing? I want to ask you guys about the Packers, okay? Because I think they're more likely to win out than the Cardinals are. Okay, here's the rest of their games. Bears next Sunday night at Lambeau. Ravens, Browns, Vikings, Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they could win, right? They could win out.
Yeah. Ravens, that would be such an interesting game.
It's in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore. I mean, after what we just said about Baltimore, you just don't know which team you're going to get. But I will never give back my ticket to watch Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers on the same field.
That would be that's going to be a fun one. And the Fighting Bradys of Tampa Bay. Okay, guys, clearly they saw something on film because Fournette has been tremendous lately, and they still had it in the air 51 times. Yeah. And it was one of those days where Gronk is still Gronk. And does it take any sort of leap of faith to believe that they could go back to the big game? No. I mean, it's going to be, there's three teams there in that little group. And one of them's going to get a bye. And the other two are going to have to play an extra game. And it's either going to be Bucks against the Packers, Packers against the Cardinals, Bucks against the Cardinals. But the NFC, to me, is crazy as the AFC is, it's a lot more interesting because I believe the three best teams in the sport all play in the NFC right now.
Very probably. By the way, Brady and Gronk become number two in the all-time duo touchdown parade yesterday. But they have a long way to go to catch Peyton.
Hey, by the way, I'm already sick of people being sick of the idea of the Patriots against the Bucks in the Super Bowl. I think it would be awesome. I mean, as a sports story, are you kidding? There was a piece in the New York Times.
Mike Tenier wrote a funny column because he's really funny to start with. Good. Are you talking about that one, Mike?
Yes, but you know what? All humor, it speaks to a greater truth, okay? And I believe he meant that, okay?
Oh, I think he does. I mean, I've read him. I'm a faithful reader. I totally think he believes it, yeah. Mike, I don't want it either any more than I ever wanted the Red Sox
you
to play the Cubs.
Want it?
I never wanted the Red Sox to ever. I was afraid, deathly afraid, that they'd wind up playing the Cubs with both of them never having won, but the two streaks going, I didn't want it. And I don't want this. I don't want the run-up. I don't want the gushing. I don't want the predictable storyline. I want something else. I don't want it.
God,
I know I'm in the minority,
oh my God,
Mike.
You're so
I
wrong.
want to go on record, I don't want
Mitch,
it.
Mitch, make him see the light. He's so wrong. It would be one of the great football stories of all time.
It's too easy. Yes, okay. to write about it, to talk about it. It's too easy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I never heard that as a reason to...
Yeah, Bob, Brady. I never heard you say in the press box, oh, my God, I don't want to write today. This game is too easy.
Yeah. I'm sick of Brady Belichick thing, the whole thing about the who's that. No, I'm tired of it.
Sit it out, Ryan.
I don't want to hear
the
that.
Rest of us
I don't want
see it.
It's all we're going to hear. I don't want it. I don't want it.
We're
make
long,
clear?
We're a long way off from that.
And I know. Why don't
the
want
Buccaneers it? Have to, you know, still, they're not walking in. You know, there's still, as you said, Mike, I think the top teams are in the NFC, and they're going to eventually have to play a couple of them in order to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, Brady's on a projection for, he's got 34-10 right now on TDs interceptions, projected to 45-13. You know, he's really good. He's not flawless. You know, there have been games where he hasn't been perfect, and the Bucs defense has not been perfect. And so I'm not sold on them marching to a Super Bowl, you know, but I do think we're going to see them, and we're going to see Green Bay. And Arizona, as I said, is the wild card in this process because they're still growing into this role of being an elite team. And you know, sometimes you just have to do it season after season before you just expect to be there. But you've got two teams for sure that expect to be there. One that's just going to get there, might end up getting the bye with the best record for Arizona. Although, as you point out, Mike, Green Bay's got a real good run schedule-wise to maybe take the week off. I just think, you know, whoever comes out of the NFC will have to earn it. And I don't, right. I'm not at this stage that I'm going to say which one it's going to be.
Two more things on pro football, but I think they're both good for our conversation. Okay. One is this. I think there are three candidates for MVP, and then there's everybody else. You guys may think I think it's Rodgers, I think it's Brady, and I think it's Jonathan Taylor, okay, who's having one of those years for the Colts. And the other thing is, we got to talk about tonight's game.
Before we do, I have to remind you that, as always, we are brought to you by our wonderful friends at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or rental's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Okay, so we're going to find out a lot about both of the combatants tonight. The Patriots go on the road. The Bills have a chance to make a really sketchy 4 or 5 weeks go away and to maybe establish themselves as the favorite again in the AFC East. I can't wait for this game.
It's being portrayed in many erudite circles as an exam, a major semester exam, maybe not the final exam, for Mr. Jones, in that though he has won on the road and he even won a game in cold weather, he has not faced a hostile crowd. He has not had to go to the silent count routine. He has not. This is a significant thing to check off on the resume for him. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how he reacts to that.
The New England defense has not allowed a point in the second half of their last three games. In the NFL, that's almost unheard of. Yeah, that is, and yet Buffalo is plenty sick of trailing New England at this time of year as a franchise. Huh. So, and they're hosting the game. And, you know, put it this way, if Buffalo, which has been a very quixotic team all year long, we all had Buffalo at this point, they played 11 games. Didn't we all figure that at this point Buffalo would at least be, 9-2 or 10-1? The way that they looked and loaded as they
are
were.
Are they Georgia to the Patriots, Alabama? We may find that. Mitch,
that's
right?
We'll have to find out. If they are, it's not because of the quarterback. Because of the coach or they got
their
number.
I have a literary question for you, okay? Because Mitch just pronounced it correctly, quixotic, okay? But if it's Don Quixote, why isn't it quixotic? No, you think I don't ask the tough questions here?
That's a
quixotic
shot right there.
Maybe yeah. Why homework, isn't it quixotic?
Maybe that's a homework assignment for one of us for next week.
You, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so who's the MVP? Before we go over to parting shots, who's the MVP?
Good question, Rodgers. I say Rodgers.
Me too.
I hate V, as you know. I like O. Outstanding. And because V is, it's Jackson.
They're not going to give out that, Bob. I'm asking
V is Jackson,
you who the
and
he, think
I,
is
but,
the MVP
but I didn't say he's O.
The
O,
NFL.
By the way, O, folks, means outstanding. Not, and V means valuable.
Well,
valuable is a semantic.
Even on the V and the O, I'll go with V for Aaron Rodgers as well. You take Aaron Rodgers off of the Green Bay Packers, they're not walking across the street. It's just... You know, I know what you're saying about, Lamar Jackson is the entire offense, you know, rushing and passing for Baltimore. But what difference does it make if you're
right.
not going to win?
Right.
If you're
right.
not going to win, does it matter if you're not going to win because you can't run and can't pass or you just can't pass?
And Rodgers, by the way, is 23-4, and those numbers are going to grow across the rest of the regular season.
You know, either here or then the other. Oh,
Jonathan Taylor, though. Oh, my God. What a year. Yeah. What a year.
Yeah, it is great. But.
I could not understand why Jonathan Taylor was not taken higher in the draft when he was. And I'm looking it up right now to see where he was.
I don't even know.
Number 41. Number 41 in the second round by the Colts. I watched that kid in college and said, This guy's going to be one of those, you know, break the mold kind of, you know, pick him in the top right. top 10 running backs. I know that is not in vogue with teams, and I know maybe he's not massive in size or whatever, but if you watched his toughness week after week in college, nobody could bring him down. He was one of those guys that you know, they draw portraits of other players hanging off of him as he goes into the end zone, you know, all trying to pull him down like people trying to pull a plow horse down or something. He was remarkable in college. He was picked 41st.
The disrespect for the position in
yeah,
terms of
that's
drafting.
Exactly it.
Well, here's the thing, Mitch and Bob. Here's the thing. You don't take a great college running back number two, as the Giants did with Saquon Barkley, because it's going to be one of the things that gets the general manager fired, okay?
Right, right.
But you don't wait until 41 either.
41. How many teams could have used a guy like this ahead of that 41st selection? Two-time Doak Walker Award winner. He literally carried Wisconsin through game after game after game.
How do they keep coming up with these guys, Mitch? Wisconsin, I mean.
Ron Dane.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to get that in there. All right.
I didn't know he was 41. No.
41. I remember that draft. I remember because, you know, I mark him by the Lions, you know, saying how many good players are you going to pass on this time? And I remember they passed on him more than once. And
Wait. Who did they take? No, Mitch, before we go to party, you have to tell me now for my own twisted amusement.
You're going to put me through that? Okay, hang on.
Who did the Lions?
It was the 2020 draft. So
don't tell me they took a defensive. Is that the one? That's not the one where they took the defensive back.
Okay, here we go. Jeff Okuda. Yep.
Oh shit!
Yeah, they took Jeff Okuda, and then they took DeAndre Swift, who is turning out to be a fine running back. But let me see where they picked him. 35th. Okay,
oh,
so they took DeAndre Swift.
I'm sorry,
ahead of Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda has played, I think, 6 minutes since
he's
been in the
NFL. I'm so
sorry
I brought that up, Mitch.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now, it is time for our parting shots, brought to you by Raycon Wireless Earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/reporters today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. buyraycon.com/reporters. buyraycon.com/reporters. Time for our parting shots. Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
Before I do, I want to ask members of the class to raise their hand if you knew that the Houston Rockets have won 6 straight games.
I do. I know.
Okay. Now, that said, Now, we all have our druthers. That's fair and understandable. But among the newly elected Baseball Hall of Famers from the various committees, the one that most warms my heart is the late Mickey Minoso. And I say that with all due respect to Jim Cott, a great pitcher and a great human being. Mickey Minoso was a dark-skinned Cuban who broke into Major League Baseball a bit too late, no, a lot too late, due to the racism of the times, and who did much of his damage in his 30s. He and Larry Doby were the first great Negro, black, whatever they should be called in their time, position players in Major League Baseball. And he was the first Latin. He led the American League in stolen bases three times, in triples three times, and was the seven-time All-Star in the 50s. Despite the late start, he still had over 2,000 hits, and he would have had unassailable stats had he not been prevented to play Major League Baseball earlier due to the color of his skin. Now, you may have your crusade guys, and Gil Hodges certainly had his advocates over many years, but Mickey Minoso was mine.
I hope that Tiger Woods comes back from his automobile accident the way Ben Hogan did after his car was hit by a bus more than 70 years ago. Hogan coming back to play a limited schedule, but being good enough in 1953 to win three out of golf's four majors and not being able to play the PGA. There was Tiger hitting balls at his hero tournament in the Bahamas last weekend, but it remains ridiculous for him to not address the circumstances of an accident that nearly cost him a leg. Quote, "All those answers have been answered in the investigation," Woods said last week. Quote, "So you can read about all of that there in the police report." Yeah, but that report does little to talk about whether Woods, even in the morning, might have been slightly impaired that day and why he was going 80 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Tiger may never be great at golf again, even if Hogan was. But man, he's still world class at controlling the narrative.
Let me tell you how the seasons go around here in Detroit Lion Land. There's the preseason, in which we kid ourselves into thinking this year, finally, the Lions might have a chance. Then there's the first half of the regular season, in which we watch the Lions lose in ways even God hadn't thought of. Then there's the third part of the season, where we say, okay, if you're going to be bad, be really bad and get the number one draft pick. And then there's the fourth part of the season, where the Lions threaten to win just enough to put themselves out of that spot, and the fans actually have to root against them. Guess what? We're in the fourth season now. With the Lions' first win of the year on the last play of the game yesterday, they are now one win away from going potentially from the first pick to the third pick in the NFL draft, which means losses that used to be greeted with, oh no, have now become wins, which are greeted with, oh no. It's not easy being Honolulu Blue. That's going
to
wrap it up.
No, that you hear that, you know, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. In the case of the Giants, we're laughing at you.
That's going to wrap it up for today's program. We'll be back on Thursday, as we always are, for another edition of Sports Reporters Podcast, which you can get on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and any place you get popular podcasts. If you enjoyed it, leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. We always appreciate those. Until we see on Thursday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying, have a great week.